Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Oh my God, I got a head turn from Kevin. That was that was sharp and feisty.
Happy Thursday, y'all.
What do you want, Pose?
I'm excited to be here.
Are you really?
What are you on, Pose? Is that what you said?
Because you vogued at me.
Ga, ga, ga. That was me hitting my poses.
Look at you posing.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yes, queen. Yes, posing.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm good. I'm good. I sound like a car starting. I'm like, you used to have a boss that talked like that.
You boss where? Like, where'd you, like, at the hair store?
Not the hair store.
I was just trying to think of the places that you worked at, and that's the first one that came to mind, Rob.
No, I've had many, many lives that
you
don't know about. I worked at a rec and park.
Parks and Rec?
Nope. Most people call it Parks and Rec.
Well,
we were called the Rec and Park.
Really? Rec and Park, spelled like R-E-C?
C-R-P-D, Conejo Recreation and Park District. That's what we were called.
I'm intrigued now.
I worked at a children's theater that was funded through the Rec and Park, and my boss, God bless him, used to talk just like that. And we're going either way. Come on in. Scott Buchanan.
Bless.
Mentor to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you at this time?
Started working there when I was 15.
Wow. So you worked jobs when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
Well, it was in the theater. So, I mean, it was in your, like, you loved.
It's in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked there when I started there when I was 15, and I left when I was 23.
Was it an outdoor theater?
No, it was an indoor theater.
Oh, it was.
It was an indoor theater. It was this very creepy, old, octagonal house. It was a house that somebody built on top of a hill, and it was legitimately a one-story octagon.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And in the center of the octagon was a large garden area for them. And then when they died, they left it to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And the city converted them into community rooms, and the large central area could be an outdoor theater, but they also put a black box in there, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's reminded me of, I went to school in Cleveland at Baldwin-Wallace University, and in Cleveland Heights, the east side of Cleveland, there's this big city park as well,
mm-hmm.
and they had this big outdoor auditorium. It's called Kane Park, and they had a big outdoor amphitheater and then a smaller outdoor sort of covered theater where they would do smaller shows, and we did big musicals there, like Damn Yankees and West Side Story, but gotta love those city municipal, you know, theater groups, because it gives a lot of students and a lot of young people opportunities, like...
Oh, yeah. And then I worked for them for a really, really long time. And then they had an arts council, which was all older folk. Older folk.
The council was older
folk? The council, yes.
And
they asked me to be
there. Retirees, you might say?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
I was their director of marketing.
How old were you then?
I was 20.
Amazing.
I was 20. I was their director of marketing from the time I was 20 to 23.
Wow.
And that included such fun jobs as putting together the newsletter and then going to the post office and mailing the newsletter out to people. They also did an art show every couple of months with the worst art you ever saw.
Like quilts and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I picture that. Yeah.
And it was always like a stick figure drawing of like an eagle on charcoal.
Mm.
And they would try to sell it for like $5,000 or $6,000. Then they would yell at me when nobody wanted to buy their painting. They'd be like, "Why? You didn't promote it enough." I'm like,
promote? It's Hangman. What do you want?
It's like, what do you want from me? I don't know that much about art, but that is shit. Call me Jules, get my wife Yvonne, and we're going into... It has no life.
No life.
No life.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was what I did. I had that job for a really, really long time. But my boss... I love Scott. He's a nice guy. He's this big, fun little roly-poly elf.
Oh, that's nice.
Who was a magician. He loved doing magic, and no matter what, no matter where you were, he's like, "I want to see a magic trick." And you know,
spoke like said by every magician ever.
Yeah.
I feel like there's always there's a personality type and that's a magician.
Oh yes, and he would do a magic trick with peeps, like he'd have
like
little
the Easter like.
Yep, he'd have like a bunch of little yellow styrofoam ducky things in his pocket, and he would do the magic trick. But I'm like, he's wearing that all
they're like
the time.
He's like, "You want one?" And I'm like, "Nope, I'm okay."
Yep. All the time, I'm like, why do you always have peeps in your pocket?
Well, you never know when someone wants a magic trick.
You never
Rob.
Know when someone wants a magic
Jeez.
Trick. But the one
what's
thing
behind your ear? This peep.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah. You would do that too. Yeah. But I will say this. Scott, talking about mentors, Scott was a huge mentor because he was having me direct all of these shows. I had like no directing experience. And he was like, "Hey, you want to direct a show?" I was like 20. "What do you want to do?" "City of Angels." "Okay." And like,
you're lying.
I swear to you.
You did City of Angels?
I did. I swear.
That's amazing.
Do you remember AJ Holmes, our guest
of
from a
course.
Few weeks ago? He was my Stein.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, he's incredibly talented.
But,
so,
but like, oh yeah, obviously. I mean, like, and Becky Spiegelman, who was our first guest, she was our "You Can Always Count on Me."
Amazing.
Oh yeah.
But boy, you reached for the heights of
we
that.
We did.
Oh my
and
gosh.
He would let me do all these like weird fundraisers that like nobody. I was like, "I want to do a concert of songs that were cut from shows." He's like, "All right."
And now look what you do for a living.
And now
you do concerts for the songs that were cut from shows.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, it was a really, really great training.
That's really cool.
But it was just that voice.
I love that.
And the one thing he let me do, and then we'll move on, that I'm always grateful to him for, this was so mean. This was so mean, but he let us do it. I was like, okay, great. We had a huge, like it was like the city's like 100th anniversary or something. It's a big deal.
It's Thousand Oaks, where you're from in California.
Yes, yes. And he was producing this huge, like, big gala fundraiser. Like, it was all these, like, big, important people, and it was, like, a big show and all that stuff. And they were doing Pirates of Penzance. That was, like, the thing that they were doing. And so he's like, we need something to make some money. And my friend Steve and I, Steve, who's now like this amazing teacher, he and I, we were like drunk half the time. And we're like, "Well, how about we show up as Gilbert and Sullivan and you can come take pictures with us?" That's a great idea. So we set up a photo booth and we literally dressed up like Gilbert and Sullivan. But like for some reason, no attempt whatsoever to impersonate Gilbert and Sullivan.
Just like...
This was the voice we used. Ready?
Oh my gosh.
"Gilbert, I think I'm going to go write a show called The Mikado. Sullivan, what's that?" "It's a show about Japan. That sounds like a great idea."
And we literally talked like that for like 3 hours straight.
Yet they hated each other in real life.
Yeah, drunk off our ass.
Oh, yeah, your bourbon breath coming at them. And they're like, "Would you like to take a picture with Gilbert Sullivan?"
And
"That's
like,
sir, to you."
Exactly. And then we imagined they had pet cougars, and like the cougars like kept going away and eating actors.
"Where's the soprano? Cougarator.
Oh my god.
Oh, what a shame. Oh. If I'm a modern major general."
And so all of these like stuffy shirts came. Like the mayor was there and this person was there. They thought it was the funniest thing imaginable. They took photos of us like kissing them. Like the mayor jumped on my back for a photo. Like it was
so that was the after party.
It was the after.
It was Gilbert and Sullivan. Not since Cox and Box have we.
That was good, buddy.
Io Lanthi, Io Gilbert.
boy, these are all coming flooding back right now.
Oh, my God, yeah. And the stupidest thing, there was a choir there of all women, like, over the age of 65, and their name was Ah. That was just the choir name.
A-H?
A-H-H-H-H. And so they took a photo with us, and they're all wearing, like, their sparkly vests with, like, the music notes on them.
Of course.
And we're like, on the count of three, everybody say, ah. And the woman who was the president, I'm like, I bet you can open wider than that. And she's like, get a couple of more drinks into me. It was a blast.
Boy, what a great upbringing. What a great job.
Yeah, I had the best job. I got paid $7.50 an hour.
I love it. You got to have you could do whatever you wanted, whatever shows you wanted, whatever characters you wanted.
Oh yeah.
Didn't have to make sense. No.
No, they were very fun.
Drink on the job. It sounds fantastic.
Oh yeah, you could drink on the job. You could drink on the job.
You got away with it at least.
Yeah, oh yeah. We had a good time. And they run that children's theater. They've been running a children's theater.
It still is.
Now. It was incepted in 1981 and it's still running today. I started a program there I'm very proud of. And
what
then
did
I'll
you
move
start?
On. Which is still running today. It was called, our town was called Conejo Valley, which in Spanish means rabbit, Rabbit Valley. And we started something called Conejo Theater for Everyone. And it was a theater that integrated developmentally delayed adults, developmentally delayed students with professional actors.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So we would do like Pirates of Penzance for like 3 weeks. But then the last week, half the cast of Pirates would leave and they would be replaced by developmentally delayed students and adults. And the students, the actors that left, mentored them. And so they did a full show singing with an orchestra.
What a great opportunity to give those students, too. I mean, sure, it changed some of their lives just to have that kind of performance opportunity and being on stage and all of the great things that come with being in musical theater. You don't have to be developmentally challenged for any of that to enjoy the benefits of that. But I imagine if you're developmentally challenged, sometimes you don't get to have those opportunities.
No, and I'm going to be honest with you, if I can, for a second.
Yes, please.
One of the things that I was so proud of was before this we created this program, they had an arts program, and these were children that had had Down syndrome, that had, like I said, a lot of developmental delays, and I always want to say children, and I shouldn't because it was a children's theater, but some of these actors were older than me. They had an arts program, but the arts program was literally like, we're going to do Little Red Riding Hood, and there'll be a narrator, and there were people on stage who would like push them, like, Johnny move here, and Johnny move there, and then out of nowhere, they would like hit a stereo, and like La Bamba would play, and they would have like a 4-minute freestyle dance break, and you were like, this is...
How is this helping?
I'm like, I don't know how this is helping them.
No.
So I said, well, let's do this, and... I said, I want it to be like any other show. They have to audition for it. They have to audition for it. And they're going to have to read and they're going to have to sing. I'll never forget, there was one kid. I'm going to say kid, but I know he was older than me. His mom was there. And I said, you're going to read these three lines for me, right? She's looking, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't get this. You won't get this.
Oh, my gosh.
Broke my heart. We put him as the lead.
I'm so glad.
One of the things I think that really bothered me was that every time they went to make a joke, or every time they went to find humor in something or expressed something, their parent or their aide next to them, stop that. Don't do that. Because I think the fear was you're drawing more attention to yourself.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, no, they have to do that. They're doing exactly what we do as human beings. Mm-hmm. We make jokes.
Maybe we say the wrong thing sometimes. Maybe we make mistakes.
Maybe we say the wrong thing sometimes.
I say an awkward thing in the wrong time. I'm sure I'm doing it in this podcast today. I mean, come on.
So we created this program, and it's still running up until
congratulations.
Until
that's really, really, really special.
It's very proud.
What's it called again?
The program is in Los Angeles called Conejo Theater for Everyone. Mm-hmm. And we did Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. They did the full choreography.
Fantastic.
They sang with an orchestra. Mm-hmm. I learned so much doing that. One of my favorite things is the one thing I learned from them, and then we'll move on, is just the honesty that they have. We had one guy, his name was Joe.
There's no filter.
And we were doing Cinderella because they're a very tight knit group. One of them passed away. Mm-hmm. One of them passed away. Her name was Betsy. She passed away. And The next day, the aide told me, she said, you know, be prepared. They're going to have a tough rehearsal because they lost a friend, yeah. and this is the first time they're dealing with death. And I said, okay. They came in like troopers. Like, they came in like, they're like, we know we have a show to put on, and so we're going to put that behind us.
Show must
and
go on.
There was a kid sitting there, and his name was Joe, and I used to call Joe Nathan Lane because he looked like Nathan Lane. So I sat down next to him. I said, Nathan, how you doing? And he goes, I'm fine. And I said, I'm so sorry to hear about Betsy. I said, are you doing okay? He's like, yeah. I said, you know, because it's okay to feel sad when we yeah. lose someone. He goes, I didn't like her when she was alive. I'm not going to like her when she's dead. I was like,
well, there's some truth there.
And I'm like, you are Nathan Lane.
Yes.
It comes full circle. Oh, so I'm so sorry for that long tangent about my past life.
I'm so happy to know that exists.
I don't even know how we got on that topic. I apologize.
No, it's fantastic.
I don't even know if we'll keep that. What's your favorite thing?
No, you better keep it. No, I hope you do. I really do.
What's your favorite thing?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
My favorite thing is I mentioned that I was on this a couple weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago. I mentioned I was on this kick of listening to all these different cabarets and all these women
yes.
of song. You know, mostly I gravitate to the female singers, although
brothers and
lots
sisters.
Of great, but this is a woman who had her own musical review on Broadway, and it was a big, big smash hit in the early 80s, 1981 to be exact. She was no spring chicken when she did this. In fact, she was in retirement and then came out of retirement to put on this show. And it, I mean, it was a two-act show, and unlike Stritch's At Liberty or the B. Arthur, you know, your favorite, you know, her one-woman show, this was a one-woman show, but mostly sung through her songs that she had sung since the 1940s and 50s, and going through her lifetime and all of the songs she had sung. And it was a full evening with a full orchestra and a full sort of choreography with dancers, and it was a major thing. And it ran for 333 performances. Then she took it on tour and went everywhere with it. She was 65 at the time, or around that age, or she closed on her 65th birthday, and. This is the great, great singer, Lena Horne, the lady and her music.
Oh,
and this
my
is,
God.
A couple people have mentioned her to me, and a colleague of mine that teaches voice, D. Michael Heath, he always talks about how they're the greatest arrangements and the greatest singing and all of that. And I thought, all right, let me check this out. Oh, my goodness. It's absolutely incredible. This album includes Tin Pan Alley songs, jazz standards. There's a song by our friend Martin Charnin called Fly. It's just like a really funky little song, almost like a rap song. But it's the beginning of her career to the end of her career. The album was produced by Quincy Jones. I mean that's in itself is pretty amazing. It was directed by Arthur Faria, who is a great choreographer of his day, and music director by the great Harold Wheeler, who I actually would love to get on the show. And
yeah.
he's gone to television now, and he makes, you know, you'll often see him conducting the orchestra for like Dancing with the Stars and those kinds of shows.
He just did orchestrations for Ain't Too Proud.
See, there you go. Yeah,
you
exactly. Of course he did.
Yeah.
This man has been around for. Ever, yeah. And I definitely want to get him on the show. It was. I have not seen the video. I've got to sit and watch that. But this, I just love listening to the cast album, and there is a soundtrack as well of the cast album. But it is there's tons of songs. I'm not even going to list them off because you know them all. But the arrangements are so unbelievable, and to hear this woman interpret these songs that she's sung for so long. She's a force of nature. And everyone that I know that saw it in the early 80s mentions just how, what an impact that had and what that evening in the theater and how special it was. And it's not like it's a show that can be revived. It's not like, yes, we can watch someone impersonate these people if it's like, you know, Audra's doing Billie Holiday. But to actually be in the room while this woman singing these songs and experience those arrangements in the orchestra at that time, I think it's pretty magical. And so I would very highly suggest you listening to The Lady and Her Music, a woman who had a full career and then came back and revisited all of the songs from her career and sounds at the top of her form. It's just really, really special. So check out Lena Horne. Just listen to anything she's done, but if you really got to listen to something specific, The Lady and Her Music.
Which was filmed, right?
Yes, it was. Great performances filmed. She got a special Tony and a Grammy Award for it.
Jesus.
But yeah, it was really, really something special.
Yeah,
I wish I could go back in time and see it, you know.
I remember,
once again,
if you read Frank Rich's book Hot Seat,
yes,
which is a collection of his reviews.
I was just looking at the other day.
So good.
So good.
I feel like, I know in the back he says it's like one of the most incredible performances he saw in his time as a critic. I was like, there's like five listed, and I think she's one of them, or I know she's one of them. But it's one of the biggest love letters an artist can receive. So go back, I think, and read that review, and then take a look at Lena Horne, The Lady and Her Music. That's great.
Yeah, I just can't believe she also did that concert for so many nights. I mean, for years,
right?
She would tour around and do it. I mean, love
it. What he said about it, which was really cool, and I'm like, that's actually a cool way of doing it, which was, he goes, you know, everyone is sitting there wondering, you know, when is she going to sing Stormy Weather? And he said the first thing she did was she sang the first song.
Yes, she sings it twice, in fact.
Yep.
The first one is a more like openings, you know, and then the second has a more fire to it, you know.
Yeah, and he said she ended the second act.
That's right.
Yeah. So she bookends it with Stormy Weather. I'm like, that is a genius way of embracing the song.
And I could go on and on, but yes.
We love Lena Horne.
Yeah, brilliant.
The Lady and Her Music.
The Lady and Her Music.
Great, I'm excited for that.
What do you got, my friend?
Oh, mine is, okay, so we're gonna go to YouTube.
You love the YouTube. I love it.
It's the YouTube rabbit hole.
It's great.
Okay, folks. I don't even know how to describe this. I don't even know where to begin. I'm going to give you a little bit of history, and then you can go off and watch this on your own, because if I tried to like explain all the fabulous things I'm watching when I watch this on YouTube, we wouldn't have enough time.
I love when you do this.
Here we go. So we all remember Alexander Cohen and Hildy Parks. They were the ones that produced the Tony Awards from like 1971 to about 1986.
You know, the Bonnie Franklin episode, you know. Like
Hildy loved a theme.
In other words, like the concept Tony Awards production.
Yes, exactly. Like this year, it's the Winter Garden. We're celebrating the Winter Garden. We're celebrating vaudeville.
Right.
And we laugh at now, but I'm happy they did those theme shows.
Oh, yes, of course.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, his idea to do the 1971 Tony Awards and to be like, it's the 25th anniversary, let's get one person back from every single show. Because that wouldn't have been preserved.
And thank goodness that's preserved, and we can see these great performers doing what they did so well.
Exactly.
With those big block numbers. Yep. Yes.
So he was hired to produce a benefit for the Actors Fund. And in 1982, he did a benefit, and the benefit was called Night of 100 Stars.
Oh, Rob. Oh, my God. Rob, this is I can't believe we haven't done this one yet.
We have never done Night of 100 Stars. So it is exactly what you think. It is 100 stars.
Not 99.
Not 99. And he got big names.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this wasn't just like, well, they're kind of a star. I mean, all the Warren Beatty, Diane Keaton, Liza Minnelli, who else is on this thing? Cecily Tyson, Brooke Shields, Cher. All of them, and Gloria Steinem was like one of them. He gets Mayor Ed Koch, he gets all of these people to come, and he like segregated it into different numbers. Like, here's the Broadway medley, and like 45 people would come out and like just sing two lines randomly of a song. The best opening of Night of 100 Stars, because the way it used to be was like, be like, here's a staircase. And all the actors would like come down the staircase and everyone would applaud.
Very classic.
But in 1985, he has a great idea. A Pan Am 747 airplane literally parks itself in front of Radio City Music Hall. This isn't like Photoshopped. This isn't CGI'd. They put a fucking plane right in front of Radio City Music Hall. The door opens and everybody leaves the Pan Am 747 plane as their name pops up on the scrawl below them. There was a fashion show. There's a New York, New York medley. That's a fun one to watch. It is absolutely incredible. And he had like different like segments, like I said. So you can go online and you just type in Night of 100 Stars. Watch the New York opening number to hear Placido Domingo try to sing New York and New York, which is good. Jerry Orbach doing a little bit of Lullaby of Broadway. Peter Allen's in it. There's a Night of 100 Stars featuring silent screen actresses where like all these old silent screen actors are like wheeled out. It is something. And I will say you should be drunk or you should be high in order to really appreciate the full grandeur of what you're seeing. There's a moment where in the New York medley, they're just trying to get as many people on there as possible, and they do a cutaway to Maureen Stapleton holding a hot dog. She doesn't sing.
I thought you were going to say holding it like a highball, but okay, nope. Yeah.
She doesn't sing. She doesn't talk. It's just like Maureen Stapleton holding a hot dog, and then they cut away to Placido Domingo again.
So there's one, and then you can go back to number two. Okay.
That's one, that's two. So mine is Night of 100 Stars, which obviously they don't do anymore.
No.
Because when I say stars, I mean these are stars.
Top movie stars.
This isn't like third reality, you know, star from Dance Moms.
Right.
These are like big freaking people that are out there. The Broadway medley is a good one to watch. You'll see our good pal Leroy Reams show up and Lucy Arnaz. But also the New York, New York medley, just to watch Maureen Stapleton
hold a hot dog.
Holding a hot dog. It's
like she was on her snack break and they're like, camera four, go. And then she's like,
I'm eating a hot dog, kids. That's it.
All right, love it.
That's
nice.
It. Night of 100 Stars on YouTube.
Good. And then after that, you can go check out Lena Horne, Lady and Her Music.
I wonder if Lena Horne was one of the 100 stars. She had to have been.
She was at the peak.
She wanted the hot dog.
Oh, exactly.
Maureen?
That's mine now.
Relish? Yeah, that's mine. Maureen, you cannot take the props home with you. Stop me.
Just try.
Come on and try. And you're gonna see how you're not at all gonna get a hot dog away from me.
Didn't know where you were going with that one. Yeah.
She would have been a great Mama Rose.
Maureen Stapleton?
Yeah, she wasn't really a singer.
No.
But I would have watched her act the fuck out of it.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. Can you imagine?
She didn't do it at Summerstock anywhere? The Kenley Players in 1906? You know what I mean?
Like Maureen Stapleton at the Melody Top.
Exactly. The Pepper Pot Players presents Maureen Stapleton in Gypsy. Yes.
Maureen Stapleton in Gypsy.
Oh, my gosh.
Next week, join us again for
My Favorite Things.
That's it. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
I want to see how more I could slide whistle up. I tried. Get away from me.
Me.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.